Hi, audience.
Hey, listeners. Guys.
Welcome back. Episode 5.
Episode 5.
And I have strep throat.
He has a mask on his face. Not even over his mouth, but on his forehead.
So, basically, because I can't talk through it. It's not going to sound right. And this is, I've actually only talked today. Mm-hmm. I started talking at 6:30 p.m.
Man, too soon.
And right now, what time is it? Like 8:15?
Yeah.
So...
Oh my goodness, and I'm special.
You're the second person I've talked to. Mm-hmm. I've only talked to my mom. And all day I was on vocal rest. And for the past pretty much 4 days,
I've been on vocal rest. Did your throat hurt?
Real bad. I'm on drugs right now, though.
Okay.
The only reason I can talk right now is because I had 2 chloraseptic pills and took like 4 Tylenol. So it's cool.
Yeah, you look pretty drugged up.
That's what's up. How are you? How was your Mother's Day?
How was Mother's Day? So my mom is fairly simple, you know. Mm-hmm. So we actually... We're kind of shitty. We went to go get her gift the day of Mother's Day, like the morning of.
You got a gift?
And, right. Ooh, okay. So we wanted to go to the MAC store, get her like $100 worth of makeup plus a gift card from there. Because my mom loves MAC. She's really into makeup. She's the one that like taught me most of what I know with it. So went there to the mall and it wasn't open for another hour. And I was already late going to her house. So we just went and gave her money, cash. Mm-hmm. And so... Mm-hmm. You know, and then we cooked on the grill for her all that day.
That's cute.
We got some wine and got her drunk, and she was singing Beyonce.
Oh.
So, I mean, she had a pretty good Mother's Day.
That's good.
Yeah, so. She's
that sounds like fun.
Easy mama. Yeah. Thank you, mama.
And I saw your snaps, and that looked like you guys were having a good time.
Yeah, my sister's being a
your
mess.
Your sister, yeah.
Yeah. What about you? What'd you guys do?
I went to my mom's house for approximately an hour and a half. I had a fever of 102.
Ooh.
And I ate her food. Died trying to swallow it, and I went home and went to bed.
Oh,
so that was my Mother's Day.
Damn.
Yeah.
And you know, the home cooked meal. Don't you hate when you get sick?
Oh my
god. And then
gosh.
It's like someone always has some kind of good food around, and you can't taste it or you can't breathe. But it's like you're pushing through it. I push through it.
No,
I'm eating this food.
No, because my mom's a faker.
Really?
She gets lazy. Every holiday comes around, she starts getting lazy. She's me. And so she made most of it. But then she had this macaroni and cheese, and I'm looking at it.
What?
I'm like, this doesn't look like.
Ooh.
This doesn't look like the mac and cheese I've had before. And so I'm like, whatever, I'll eat a little bit. So I had a little bit. Of course, I couldn't really swallow it or taste it. So I just like swallowed it or whatever. It was fine. And then later I was like, okay, my throat's feeling a little better. Now I've had some warm food in me.
Yeah.
Let's try this stuff again. And I go, what'd you put in this? Because this don't taste anything like what you've made before.
So you're saying she's showing out or she didn't make it?
She didn't show out. She's lied and said, oh, I put this, that, and the third in it. And then later on she said, now don't say that in front of guests. I got that from Chinook. Oh my god.
Show it out. Oh my god.
We're talking about paprika.
Yeah. Oh my girl. You trying to bust your mommy out.
You know you didn't put any paprika in there. They don't put paprika in that at Snooks.
Okay. They don't put anything in Snooks, so she must
That's
have really turned
like
it up.
I was like, what is this? Where are the breadcrumbs?
Tasted all bland. Okay,
it wasn't even oven baked.
Oh. I know. I only do oven baked macaroni.
Yeah, that was like easy mac. I don't know. But anyway, that was Mother's Day, and yeah, the whole last 4 days with strep.
Yeah. And I just want to let you guys know, if and does get me sick, this podcast will be over.
Because one of us will be dead.
I will take this bitch to Judge Judy.
Okay, honey.
And you better bleep my bitch out.
I'm keeping it just for that. Just for the case. So what are we talking about today?
So today we're talking about toning down your blackness.
What brought that up?
What brought that up? So several things. So do you watch Scandal? Well, let's rephrase that. You should watch Scandal. It's okay. A great show. Kerry Washington. I mean, for those, everyone, if you're not living on the rock, you know who it is and what kind of what it's about. Anyway, so this past Thursday, there was this episode where Kerry Washington's character, Olivia Pope, her dad, who's like this really evil guy, but he's really high in society and like Washington politics. So basically he took a guy, or like a random kind of black guy that Olivia used to kind of mess with. Mm-hmm. And he said, "You're going to be our next president." He's been basically kind of playing puppet master to this guy and making him do all the things that he doesn't want to do, but he has to do it or his life is pretty much in danger. So it's basically kind of like art imitating life. They have a presidency kind of thing going on right now, and there's a character that's kind of like Donald Trump. He's really hateful, racist, mm-hmm. all these things. And the Olivia Pope's dad tells him, "You can't really say how you feel or what you really want to say about the Donald Trump character. Like, you can't attack him for his views or anything, because you'll basically be seen like a Jesse Jackson or, you know, a stereotypical black person." Mm-hmm. And the guy, who's a little bit, he's from high society, he's, you know, not from the streets, air quotes. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, "Why? You know, like, common sense, like, he's dissing black people. Why can't I step in? Doesn't that kind of seem weird?"
Right.
And so anyway, the dad, he pretty much goes off. He's like, "I'm the one from the fucking streets. I'm the one that came from nothing. Like, basically, I'm a real Negro and you're a new Negro, and you don't know what it really means to be black. So you leave that to me." And basically, it's just such a powerful scene. I brought that up because I felt like he was telling him, kind of verbatim, he said, "They need to forget that you're a black man."
That's crazy.
And that's the only way you're going to get in the White House.
But you know what? I feel like people do that with certain black people automatically. Mm-hmm. Like, they forget that they're black because of whatever.
What do you mean?
So for me, you know how many times I've been told, like, "You're not black. You know how many times I was told that going to PWIs or, like, even in different workspaces? Yeah. Like, "You're not, like, that kind of black."
Because they don't want to say you're not ghetto.
Or whatever. I mean, it's like, that's not a compliment.
It's not.
Like, what are you talking about? "You're not black. Mm-hmm. Not black." Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Just because I don't speak the AAVE to you.
Yeah.
I was looking up about code switching and AAVE and as a whole, and I use AAVE, which once again is African American Vernacular English, also known as Ebonics, but I don't like that word. It's very 1970s jive turkey colored. You know what I mean? I don't like that. But anyway, AAVE isn't a whole new language. It doesn't mean that you're from a certain region. You could be from St. Louis and talk to someone from California or New York, and you guys are going to be talking the exact same. Maybe you have a different accent, but AAVE is a dialect, and we just own that.
It's
so
just, why can't it just be a part of our culture?
It is.
Without, no, I know, but I'm saying people who are not a part of the culture try to take it away and make it a bad thing.
Well,
because it's not understood.
And the psychology behind that is that whatever the person in power is speaking, then if you're not speaking that, then you are the dumb one.
Exactly.
For instance, back in, I wish I knew the years, but in Greece, the Greeks were in power, and when they heard anybody else speak their language, all they heard was barb, 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 barb. So they started calling everyone barbarians. Mm. That's the folklore, the whatever. But there is words for barbarian in different cultures, so whatever. Yeah. That might not be true, but that's the easy rundown. It's just saying stupid people say barb, 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 so they're barbarians and they're stupid. So the same way goes for like the Queen's English or like general American English.
Exactly.
If you're not speaking that, then you're obviously less educated, you're obviously stupid, and who doesn't speak that? People that speak AAVE, which are black people.
Right.
So black people are stupid because we speak differently, but we have the same grammar rule, or we have different grammar rules, but we have the same amount of rules and same science behind everything. I understand it. That's why I can code switch. Does anyone know what code switching is out there? I mean, I'm looking up. I'm tired of telling everybody. Do I code switch? Yes, I do.
I mean, that's a dumb question. I didn't really mean it like you do it. Because obviously, that's a part of toning down your blackness. Like, you code switching? I do. So I do feel like there's certain things as a black person that you shouldn't take outside of the culture, like the N-word.
Right.
And, you know, like when that guy at the White House correspondent dinner, what did he say to Obama? He was like,
Barry, you made it, nigga.
Barry, you made it, my nigga, or whatever.
Yeah.
And even though I use the N-word, I don't use it in front of mixed company.
Right.
I definitely would never think to use it in front of the president.
Right.
It just, I don't know. I just cringe when I heard it.
Yeah.
Even, I mean, I understand. I don't know. I don't think you should have done it. That's like, so I felt like in a way, I don't even know if you would say that's a toning down your blackness, but it's just, that's not what you do in front of mixed company. There's just certain things you just don't say.
So is by saying that you shouldn't say that in front of mixed company, toning down your blackness? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, I guess it would be in a sense, because I mean, you're like, let's say that's how that guy really talks. I wish I knew his name. I don't know his name.
Larry Wilmore.
Sure. Maybe that's how he really talks in front of his friends and family, whatever. But that just was not the place for it.
Right. So when like you just said, maybe that's how he talks. So when I say that I code switch, it's because when I'm talking to Susie and Sally, I'm not going to talk to them the same way I'm talking to Khadisi.
Yeah. Because
they're not
going to
get it. But I don't know.
Yeah.
When I hear toning down blackness, I think of it as more of a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of feel like it's necessary, especially in PWI spaces.
Yeah.
Like, because we'll be, I guess we'll be Kiki and all of them. You know? And then we'll just be flying off the handle or whatever. And I'm like noticing that the crowd around us is ear hustling.
Okay.
And I'm like
trying to be educated.
They're trying to pick up on something that we're saying.
Yeah.
Or they're like snickering or laughing or whatever. And I'm like, I don't want them in on this.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'm not saying the theme of toning down your blackness is bad or good. I'm just saying that it's something that happens, whether on purpose, intentionally, or just like exactly.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like when I think of code switching, that's just kind of what I like think of.
That's the first thing I think of is code switching.
Yeah.
And like trying, I kind of use code switching to protect my relationships with fellow black people.
Exactly.
And in a way, preserve my relationship with white people because I don't want to open the door.
I don't want to be
you using. No, I don't want to open the door to a white person using AAVE with me.
Right.
Don't start talking to me how I talk with Khadisi. Because that's not how you talk.
Yeah.
And that's not how we talk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that is kind of like survival.
Yeah.
You know, I need them over there. I need you over here. And we're all good. And I'm going to act however I want to act around the different people.
I don't know. What's a situation where I feel like I, because when you intentionally tone down your blackness, you know it. But I'm trying to think of a situation where I've like unintentionally did it and thought about it like, oh.
What about calling a place and talking to someone, like applying for an apartment or calling a future employer or something like that, talking to a boss? Like, there's always a thing called a white voice, a white phone voice. Do you have that?
No, because my name is Khadisi.
Yeah.
My name is Khadisi.
Yeah.
So automatically, you know that I'm something that's probably not white.
That's true.
So no, I used to hate that because I had family members that used to do that.
Uh-huh.
Or like when a white person, they come around, they completely switch.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt betrayed by them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a very strong word, but I felt some type of way about it. And so I just was like, no, I'm never going to do that.
Yeah. You're not Southern or anything like that. So you don't even have an accent. Well, to me, you don't have an accent.
Me, I do.
You know,
listen to this podcast.
But like, so there's no affectation to your voice. So I guess maybe you automatically come with the quote unquote white voice. I don't know. I'm so sick of people saying that you talk white or talk black.
Exactly.
Like, that's not real to me.
Or proper. Like when especially when I was a kid growing up, it's like, you talk so proper. Like, what's wrong with you?
Oh, or, I know the same thing.
Like proper, like okay.
Like I just speak. Yeah.
This is how God made me.
I remember my aunt was dating someone and he had some kids and we were all playing or whatever. And they I guess they were Southern or something. They had really strong accents to me. And so I kept asking them, what did you say? Like, can you repeat that? Whatever. And I'm still playing. Like, I'm not being rude about not understanding. I just want to know what you said. Yeah. And they, like, stopped and they're like, you're asking too many questions. Is that because you talk good? Ooh. And I was like, it's actually well. Like, something ignorant. Right, and they're like, we're not playing with you. But I was just like, why has my voice or the way that I speak always been compared to how quote unquote black I am? Because y'all watch too much MTV.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I don't know where that comes from or what that originates from, but racism. It's always
slavery.
Something.
Another thing about code switching is when groups of people stop talking with other groups of people and they're kind of with their own. Mm-hmm. They're going to develop their own language and their own dialects, just like we did. So we, slaves, they, you know, started mixing in whatever language they were speaking with English and then started learning English and holding on to some things. And it got mixed in with the Southern accents and stuff. And then all of a sudden you have this new dialect, which is what we probably speak right now. Except they talked a lot less about love and hip hop.
Right. Unfortunately for them. No, I'm just kidding. So I guess what I was thinking about. And when I say blackness, like, how do you define it? I mean, I just define it as black culture or, you know, I mean, I don't really know any other way to put it. It's just, it's a cultural thing.
When I think of blackness, I just think of freedom. When you talk about, like, toning down anything, I just think of, like, well, if I'm toning this down, if I don't tone it down, then I'm just myself.
Right.
Blackness matters more or is thought about more by people that aren't black. You know what I mean?
I would agree with that.
Because I don't have to question the degree of black that I am. I'm just black.
Yeah.
And my blackness is there and it's important.
Can you think of a time when it's been challenged? Like, okay, so I say this because I was in a setting, like a networking event with different groups of black women and men. And if you know me, I'm a very silly person, you know, whether I'm drinking or not, I'm just silly. And I felt like I was being judged for being like fun, even though the setting was, we were at a bar. Yes, it was networking, but there was music. It was a bar. And so when I'm talking to people, I'm not really so much talking about their work. I'm just like, hey, how's it going? Right. You know, like just being me, being chill.
Aren't we networking?
And exactly.
Like,
are we
getting
networking?
To know each other's
like,
personalities?
I'm like, I got a job. So really I'm just here to just meet people. And that's really, but anyway, I felt a sense of judgment by a lot of the women there, especially because they were so buttoned up. And almost wanting, like, I wasn't loud, I wasn't crazy, and if I was, that's okay, I wish I was, but I felt like they wanted me to tone it down or be, you know, put on my pantsuit and just, I don't know what to talk about, high society, I don't know, shit, I don't really know, but
that, I feel like that buttoned up, tight wad, like, really just constricted state of being just doesn't align with blackness. Blackness, like I said, is freedom. I feel like blackness is that cackle that you hear in an audience. You know, it's clapping, clapping
that's
as
me.
You're laughing.
That's
you know
me.
I mean? And dancing and singing and joy and freedom. So like when we're in these corporate environments, you see these people with their shaved heads and stick straight hair.
Yeah.
Y'all are boring and you look like
bored.
You need a massage.
And it's like it's taking you more effort to do all that button up shit.
And it's taking me more effort to digest.
Right.
You.
I'm just like,
it's I'm tired from looking at you.
And then in like another situation, so I was watching Real World, which still is on TV.
Okay.
And I mean I love my TV.
Why is that on TV still?
I really don't know. But anyway, so this season, they've got a new group, and one of the girls is from the South, maybe Mississippi, Alabama, anywhere that's South. I don't
she's
know. Ooh, I'm sorry, guys. She's white. Oh. And she wears the Confederate flag. Her family sees it as a pride and whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. So she comes in the house talking about, there's a black girl that lives there and a black guy. And so she says to them, you guys aren't like the black people that I come across to down South. You're very different. I like that. I feel like you guys are nice and whatever, like just basically giving them compliments after compliments in that same context that you're better than the rest. And so the black girl took it as like, That's messed up.
That's not a compliment. That's
not a compliment. But she didn't instantly, like, say that. She said it in her confessional, and she's just like, I don't even know how to react to this. Number one, I know me, which I obviously have to do better at, because when I was seeing the way she reacted to that girl was to give her a chance to say, you know what, she probably was brought up this way her whole life, and maybe she literally is just ignorant, versus somebody just going down her throat and saying, you know what, you're a stupid bitch, and she probably, you know, could learn more. But anyway, as the story goes, she didn't learn anything from the experience. She still has her same thoughts, and I guess what kind of ticked me off a little bit is the way the black guy reacted. He thought if he were to have sex with the white girl,
what?
That she would change her perspective on black culture.
What?
He was trying to sleep with her the entire time.
My throat hurts.
She was also homophobic. She said something like, gay sex disgust me. She was a disgusting...
Then don't have gay sex.
She was just... Exactly. Hello. She was a disgusting person. And the fact that she could still keep saying little, like, racist, homophobic shit. And he was like, you know what? I still sleep with her. I was so disgusted by him.
That's on him.
That's on him.
At this point.
That's on him.
Why do you want to sleep with her? That's slave and slave master shit.
That's some weird ass shit.
You know what I mean?
But
you want to be in a part in a situation where you could be snapped in the neck real quick.
It was just very bizarre. Because
that sounds like that girl wants to.
It was just very bizarre. But I guess what I was getting at is just she handled it so well.
Yeah.
And when I think that the producers probably knew coming in that this white girl had those really strong opinions about different things that weren't white.
Yeah.
And they probably expected this black girl to come in and go ham.
They wanted her to.
You know, they wanted her to. It would have been great TV, but then at the end of the day, people will look at the black girl like, why are you so angry? Da, 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 da. But she did everything right, and it was a learning situation there.
How would you have reacted? That's what I want to know.
10 years ago, I would have, like, went crazy.
Right.
Like, we would have had a debate right then and there, and the debate would have been me talking over you, pointing in your face, letting you know that that's some bullshit.
Right.
And I think now I internalize things sometimes, and I sit on it. And I think that maybe, I don't know if I would have been able to, like, hang out with her or think that it was my job to educate her, because I wouldn't have thought that way. But maybe I would just, like, let her know, like, you know, that's not cool. I would at least let her know.
I'm still kind of struck by the whole he wanted to sleep with her thing. And this conversation about the fetishization, that shit. It needs to be a whole episode, and we're gonna get to it because
next week, y'all.
Maybe not next week, but
you know,
there's so much to talk about with that.
I mean, yeah.
But the response, like, from the girl, was probably what I would do, because at some point, when you become an adult and you run across enough of these kind of people, you realize that you can only say so much. They don't want to listen.
No.
They've listened to enough. And that's why she doesn't like the people from the South. Because she's probably running up on them saying, why are you in my way? Why are you doing no? She's probably doing all this ignorant shit.
No, she made an excuse too that, oh, I love shopping at their stores though. I got this dress from there. Like, their stores. They're like... It was just so...
See?
Are you serious?
See?
Like, this is why I'm never going to the South.
I'm never going to the South. I mean, but that's the shit, like... She's thinking whatever already. So you can go in and explain her. You can write her a thesis on why this is not right, and she won't care.
Yeah.
So you just gotta leave racist, be racist, and you gotta just let them go. A friend of ours said, I'm tired of giving people benefit of the doubt. They've had enough time to learn about things, just as long as I've had time to learn about things.
Boom.
I'm tired of playing like they're stupid. They're smart enough to know that they're just racist.
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it.
And racists these days don't always come out as outright, you're a nigger, or you're this, or you're that.
Say that.
It's very, like, undercover, underline. Like, you can just...
But you can see it. But black people... White racists, any racists that clicked on the Black Table podcast, listen
leave.
To it.
Right. Leave.
One, leave. But two, we see you.
Yeah.
You're not good. You're never going to be good at being racist.
Yeah.
Everyone can see it.
Yeah.
We're educated about microaggressions. We know about what you're doing.
I don't get it. Like, the hatred, but...
And then nice white folk, don't tell us that we're not like other black people that you hate, because you hate so many black people and you like us. That's not a compliment. That just sounds to me like you hate black people.
Right.
Huckleberry Finn called what's his face a nigger too. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Bye.
I can't. So going back to that scandal episode that I loved, and how in order to be a president, you'd have to essentially not have a color. So I can understand needing to appeal to the masses as president. But I think Obama, in my opinion, has done a really good job of still showing that he's a black man, strong black family, like never... Before Obama, we haven't really seen a black family that prestigious, that prominent, and they're not like an athlete, you know, any kind of entertainer in that sense, but still knows his culture. And I guess I'm like, I don't know, I sometimes used to think like, why not a Jesse Jackson or Shirley Chisholm when they ran for president and whatnot? I guess it just depends on the person, because Jesse Jackson's a hardcore like Christian, and that kind of takes away from people that aren't Christian. I don't know. Does it? Because Obama's still Christian. I don't know.
It's interesting. I mean, that's could be a reason why it can't be a Jesse Jackson or Shirley Chisholm. But I also think it's also our generation. It wasn't shoved down our throat to hate a certain race.
Yeah.
Quite like the generations before.
Right. Like grandparents and things like that. Who.
So by the time we're voting age and Obama is running, it's like, okay, cool. A young guy is running.
Yeah.
That's all we see. And, oh, he is cool with Beyonce and all them. You know what I mean? Like, and, oh, he's agreeing with things that I'm agreeing with. And I want to vote for him. And it wasn't... For me, it was a lot about cool to see a black guy, but I think for a lot of voters, it was just like, okay, this guy is saying the shit that we want to see, that we want
to
hear.
For some people, for sure, it was about color. I mean, just to see like a black man be able to have be in that position.
Oh, yeah. And there's so many people that didn't vote for him because of his color.
Yeah, exactly. So it definitely went both ways. But I think, yeah, you're definitely right. It's like the energy. Like we're the ones that grew up watching slave movies and 1960s movies. And we're like, man, if I was in that position, like we get so amped, you know, so we don't. Connected in the same way that like our grandparents would, so I guess
our generation is just great.
I think so.
I think the millennials are great. We are progressive from jump. We've been progressive because we weren't born in, you know, like the just say no. I mean, yeah, we all learned
don't
say
look
no.
The white man in the eye kind of the generation. Oh man,
we didn't grow up in that. Like we grew up in like. Learned about O.J. Simpson. And, like, we, like, grew up really fast, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we did.
And so I think that we got past the bullshit and we got to make our own decisions really early. You know what I mean?
Man, speaking of 29-year black, O.J., when you bring him up...
Man!
I mean, I know I'm not trying to go on an episode with him.
I'm saying, but...
But when you watch... Because we did grow up in it, but I feel like we didn't know every detail of, like, how the man actually was.
Right. But when we get waves of information... So, how old were we, like, 3 or something?
Sure.
I was probably 3 when that was happening. I still remember it being on TV, though.
Yeah,
and I remember like, Monica Lewinsky and JonBenet Ramsey and all these things when I was a kid.
Ooh.
That makes you grow up really fast.
It does.
You know what I mean?
Columbine, all that shit.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
And so you just kind of start getting understanding of the world. 9/11, like, you're just getting more of an understanding of the world at a very young age.
Yeah.
And then... You don't understand it in full, but as you keep growing up, you're now learning about it in every class, you know, and you're getting waves of information and we're getting fed real shit. And I think that's what our generation did. We got fed real shit. So by the time we see a black president, it's like, well, about time.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't make no sense.
Yeah.
And then, like, with O.J. Simpson, like, I did not finish the show. I know I need to. Mr. World Premiere. I'm really waiting for a DVD.
Seriously?
I can't get on Mr. World
I know.
Premiere.
I know.
I can't.
I mean, I guess just what I took from it was that I don't even know if toning down his blackness was a thing.
He just turned it off.
Or if he was just like, fuck that shit.
I heard that
it was so like his lawyer came in, Johnny Cochran came into his home while OJ was in jail and redid the house to be more ethnic, more like cultural to black people.
Right.
Because it wasn't.
Right.
And so when the jury came in, they saw, you know, oh, they're like all these pictures of black people, his family, da da da, this, that. Oh, okay, he's really down. But he was never, ever down. Mm. He played golf with the cops. And I'm take it how you want it. Right. He played golf with the cops. His home was naked white women everywhere. Like, he didn't even have pictures of his mother up, you know? So he was just, I don't know, out of touch. Like, there are some extremes that some people will go to rid themselves of being black, you know, Sammy Sosa and the bleaching. Oh. But it's just, it's so much.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just learned a lot about him. I mean, I already knew he was guilty as a kid.
Right.
But I was just like, he would not have had a not guilty verdict in this day and age.
And also, no one's going up for you, because when that happened, it was right after Rodney King got beat on TV and no one did anything.
Yeah.
And so right after that, it was like, we don't give a fuck if he walks into the courtroom carrying Nicole's head by the hair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We just need a black win, because we've just had a big black loss.
Man, with we're the still riots. Going through it.
Here we are again.
Here we are again.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder what the next OJ is going to be, because it's going to happen again. We're going to have a big celebrity scandal. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was like Ray Rice or anything like that.
It may not even be a celebrity. It may be like, you know, like the Mike Browns and all these boys and girls that keep getting murdered. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, at some point, it's just going to come to a head. It's just every day, even the ones that don't make the media. You know, remember the kid that got wrapped up in the rug at school, my God, and his organs were stuck? Scares me. It's just like,
It's to the point where I was thinking about this today when we kind of discussed prior to recording about the topic about toning down your blackness, because I was thinking about my social media and how I don't really, or I hadn't really ever tweeted the hashtag Black Lives Matter, which is really strange. I don't know if I never have, but I know that I didn't frequently do it, and I still don't share. Well, I don't share much on, like, Facebook besides music videos.
Facebook's different.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or anything. But I really wasn't sharing, like, Black Lives Matter or anything. And I was like, oh, no. Like, I hope I don't look like I'm toning down my blackness. I mean, hell, I have a podcast. You know what I mean?
The Black Table.
But I was really nervous. I was like, maybe that does that look like I'm toning down my blackness? But really what it is, it's like, that shit's so fucking traumatizing.
Yeah.
I just can't see it. And I can't share it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a joyous side to that. But
it is.
Still, like, just clicking on that Black Lives Matter hashtag, you see body bags.
You know what I mean?
Public lynchings.
Yeah.
Like, it hurts to even see, like, Sandra Bland smile.
And then you feel bad that literally you're retweeting it, but, like, what else can you do? And but I guess it's like, this is my platform. I'm just making people aware.
Yeah.
Because I was, like, when everything was popping off, retweeting Black Lives Matter, because I just didn't know what else to do. What else could I do?
What else can you do?
You know?
Yeah, it's... I feel bad because I can't even remember everyone's names.
Yeah.
And it's not right.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be every 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then also, I shouldn't feel... Sorry to go back. I'm going back to toning down your blackness. I shouldn't feel like I should be learning about these public lynchings and then have to go back to work in a PWI and be all smiles.
And be all smiles like nothing happened.
And then there are those black people in workspaces that pretend nothing happened. As if they're not black.
Or as if they
don't have black children.
Yeah. People that are black, raised black children. Okay. You know, fuck it. My cousin.
Okay.
This nigga. And he is black, has a white wife, and has a child. And basically, he has a whole fucked up mentality about it. And he said that his daughter is going to be other. The world will look at her as other. Okay. She will never be looked at as black.
Interesting.
That's interesting. Like, I had to record the conversation just because it was so bizarre that you would think, as a black man, that just because your child is mixed, that they're going to be seen as other. What is an other?
I guarantee it. Like, even if she's the lightest skin and passes as white, the minute she gets one kink in that hair, or they find out what her dad looks like, she's a nigger.
But, yeah.
So, that delusion... Get rid of it.
And that's just an example of someone taking the extreme of toning down their blackness, because they take it to the next generation and tells them, like, or hides them from what they are, essentially.
That really scares me, because now that kid isn't going to learn about blackness and is going to be put in danger.
You know, in terms of our generation of black youth, whatever, I'm young. there's such a high sense of Black pride. And I don't think like everyone does it in a quote unquote, like offensive way where we're like Black pride, fuck everybody else. Y'all can, you know, die, whatever. Right. It's just like, I'm happy to be Black. This is, mm-hmm. this is who I am. This is my culture, my people. And it's not so much shameful. Yeah. Like, you know, if I want to listen to it, like I have a space where I'm the only Black person and I'm proud to say I listen to trap music.
Yeah.
And that's okay because you're proud to listen to your music.
Right.
And whoever else you want to listen to. And I remember a time when people tried to make me feel bad about that or that I was less than for listening to that type of music. And now I'm just like, I don't give a fuck.
No, this is the music I'm listening to.
Yeah.
That's the music you're listening mm-hmm. to.
That's it.
That's it. And ooh, another thing now, because we're kind of mm-hmm. getting into what I was thinking about yeah. too, is like office politics.
Yeah.
Oof. Stop talking to me about Friends. I didn't watch Friends like that. I didn't watch Friends like that. Like, I don't know about Friends. Mm-hmm. I don't know who, what am I?
I don't know. Sorry.
I don't know. Frasier. I didn't watch the shit. So stop. I don't want to talk about it. We could talk maybe some episodes of Living Single and stuff mm-hmm. or whatever. But you know what I was doing? I was watching kid shit because I was a kid. I wasn't watching sitcoms like that.
And that's just the funny thing is like the assumption that everyone watches these, and it's not even like an offensive thing that I don't think anyone's trying to be offensive by saying it, but it's very inclusive to just think that everyone watches these Friends and
I'm offended by that because don't assume that I watch Friends when I can't assume that you watch Living Single. So now I'm going to just go up to you and be like, remember that episode of Martin?
Right. Ooh. Like, why is none of that on Netflix?
Alright guys, so we started The Perfect 26 a couple weeks ago now, and we'll do an update. So your challenge was to eat meat every other meal. How's that going?
Yeah, so I ate meat every other day. Nice. Sometimes I would not eat meat for 2 days straight, which is a big deal for me because I come from a family of huge meat eaters, and I love my meats, but yeah. I kind of enjoy it, just having that control, mm-hmm. being able to say, you know what, no. Because I felt, not that meat was taking over my life, but just that like, I would always judge vegetarians and vegans like, ugh, where's the chicken at? Where's some beef at? So, you know, it's okay.
I used to date a vegan, and I was vegan for a pretty long time, and mm-hmm. I kind of am fake vegetarian sometimes, and she judged me really
hard. I did.
But I'm glad that you've turned the leaf. Are you going to continue?
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to ramp it up to do meat only like a couple times a week. Ooh. Not that I want to go completely anything. It's just more so for health. So how'd you do?
So mine was to find a therapist, and I did go look for a therapist.
Yeah.
It's impossible to get into this office that's next to me that takes my insurance, mm-hmm. and I refuse to leave my zip code. But so I called, left a message, whatever, and I'm waiting for a call back. So I guess I did my challenge, but I'm waiting.
Yeah.
For the receptionist.
Must be a really good therapist.
The regular price is $80 to $100 per session.
Yeah, sounds about
That's
right.
That's a lot.
Unless you want to go to like the really free ones that are
that's a lot.
Your $20, but it won't be in your zip code. You just have to branch out. So, now what do we do? Like really cool music right here. Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom. It really does. Anyway, so you're gonna pick first.
Yay. And mine is my number 10, which is to spend 2 hours a day outside and enjoy it. Yay. I picked that because I'm such an indoor person. Mm-hmm. I'm an only child, so going outside and playing with myself, with what? Like sticks? Like, what am I supposed to do? Okay. Your turn.
Scared. Okay. Big drum roll. So, number six. Woo! The devil's number.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. So my number six is basically to spend more time with my 4-year-old niece, because I am a shitty aunt.
Oh my god.
Who only sees her very sporadically.
Okay.
So maybe I'll go and get her this weekend, and the weekend after that,
maybe the Universe Soul Circus will be in a park.
Ooh, I love that circus. Oh my god. You know what?
They're always posted up in a park.
I think that's
somewhere.
In June.
Oh.
I love
it. You can't change your challenge. So you guys
I can still take her there. Anyway,
I can spin plates.
You can what?
I can spin plates on sticks. So you guys out there that are doing your perfect 26, you can either do spending time with your family member if you don't have a niece, just any old family member for 2 weeks, or you can join me and spending at least 2 hours a day outside and enjoying yourself while you're doing that.
If you live in Cali, fuck you, because that doesn't even count.
That's so easy. That's right. Like rollerblading and listening to an album or something.
Fuck you.
But yeah, so please join us, and also remember to update us by using the hashtag #perfect26. Just tweet it or put it on Instagram. We do check it periodically. We're currently the only two people using it. But it's okay. It's all right. We're gonna get you
good. Don't be surprised if she asks with a kiss. All right, guys, it's time for our sponsors. So, our first one we want to thank is the St. Louis Organic Farmers Market.
Oh, wow.
For providing us healthy food.
Yes, thank
and
you.
Veggies and all the other stuff, and keeping us healthy and on par with our perfect 26. Providing Strokes with dog treats for his neglected animal.
Oh, my God. So my sponsor is actually Dr. Miami. Thank you for sponsoring my butt lift that's going to happen this year.
I've seen it on Snapchat.
Because I have a computer butt. And no, I don't want to do squats for it. I just want to lay up on a table like those girls on the Snapchat and walk
those
out.
Build a body. Man, they be looking good.
That's what I want to do. Why can't I just do that?
Because you can now with our sponsor, Dr. Miami.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, guys, that's it for us today. But remember, we'll be back in 2 weeks. In the in-between time, remember that you can email us at theblacktableis@gmail.com or tweet us at blacktablepod. Our Instagram is theblacktablepod. We're going to get working on that. Don't worry about that. Our Facebook is facebook.com/theblacktablepod, or you can just search The Black Table Podcast and we'll pop up. And you can listen to us on Podomatic, Acast, Stitcher, and iTunes. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and share.
And if you want to follow us on our personal accounts, you can find me at Khadisi, and you can find this guy that I'm talking to at STFUSTOKE.
No, I missed the letter.
Oh, shit. You can find my co-host at STFU Strokes, because their strokes are really good. And then you tell them to shut the fuck up. That's where you got his name from.
Okay. We're going to go on that note. Bye.
Bye. Come back.
I roll with big shots, made men with lots of plug. They show me lots of love, serve your girl lobsters, love. You an imposter, love. You with the feds.gov. You Kevin Costner with the drama, it's not an opera, love. I'm over talking about these bitches, ain't amount to shit. All they worry about is dick and how they mouth could fit. I seen you eating Mickey D's, knew you ain't love yourself. I'm up in Trader Joe's, shopping cart full of health. I'ma come clean and text my flow with one thumb. My style is dumb clean, your style is humble.